Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the program, and I tell you what, we've had some good news the last week or so with some big Indiana victories to come on and talk about, and today we have some big news for Indiana. I'm sure that most of you have heard, but last night, Archie Miller and the IU program got another really big commitment, this coming from the class of 2021, this coming from in-state player Christian Lander down at Evansville Wrights, who is a five-star player who's currently the number one ranked point guard in the country at this time, and obviously a huge target of the Hoosiers and many other schools, really since he entered high school. He's been widely talked about, widely recruited. Indiana spent a lot of time watching him in the summer, a few times in this high school season. He's been at some Indiana games. He was at the Indiana game, the victory over Penn State on Sunday. And a little surprised here. I thought Indiana, obviously in the mix, and you hear that Indiana's in a pretty good spot with him, kind of in the rumor mill situation. But given how his recruitment was going, you could see it lasting a little bit longer. The other interesting thing about Lander's commitment, and something that may have actually helped Indiana, there's lots, and he even confirmed this, nothing for sure yet, but reclassifying Lander is thinking about to the 2020 class, which means he would forego a senior year of high school basketball, a senior year of school. Likely it would take some effort this summer in summer school to complete that process, but he would be able to effectively enter Indiana as a freshman next year and become a member of the 2020 class. So really big stuff for Indiana. It's another huge get in the state as far as the momentum goes. And if there's one thing that Archie Miller, he's not perfect, but he's as perfect as any coach could be given the standings of Indiana, given where he inherited the program, even giving some of the struggles that continue under Archie Miller, not getting to the NCAA tournament yet, in the mix right now for the tournament, but nothing is guaranteed for sure. One thing he's done unbelievably is recruit the state of Indiana. He missed Keon Brooks, and I know there have been some other lesser names. Keon was the big one, but he's landed the must-gets, and really I don't know that anyone expected him to get Romeo, follow that with Trace Jackson Davis, and then follow that obviously with two seniors right now and Leal and Galloway that are at the top of their class, and add Christian Lander, who currently is a junior. So big get last night for Indiana, and again, huge, huge recruiting coup for Archie Miller. And it's been really the best couple weeks here for Indiana news-wise. A couple wins at Minnesota was big to come back and play the way they did, and then bounce back at the end of the game and play great again and get a win over Penn State. Obviously, that was big news. And then on a recruiting front, getting this commitment last night, I think it caught a lot of people off guard, but I think it's got a lot of people excited. And now, of course, for Indiana, we'll see if the momentum can continue into Thursday when they play at Purdue. A win there, I think, almost locks them into the NCAA tournament. Not only is it a win on the resume and in the Big Ten Conference, but a couple other things. It would be a road win as well for Indiana, and Purdue's kind of the next team in the Big Ten standings right now, at least, and it would create even more separation between Indiana and Purdue, because I think 10 teams from the Big Ten Conference is reasonable, given how good things have been this year. So a big one coming up Thursday. Big news last night. Indiana basketball, if they can clinch a tournament berth, maybe get hot here and finish the season not only with one more win, but a couple wins or more, this is a great time, I think, for a Hoosier fan. And if Indiana can get into the tournament, finish the season strong, they've got some recruiting momentum. It's obviously an interesting and fun time for sure. One other thing before we get into the rest of the show, we're going to talk lots about Christian Lander and his commitment today. But really, the next big target now for Indiana, recruiting-wise, is Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek. All the attention will be on him now. There will be others. There obviously will be other names in that 2021 class that Indiana will get, I would assume. And there could even be names to the 2020 class that could be added after this season comes to a close, and transfers and junior college and all sorts of, even late high school bloomers, all sorts of ways that things could change there. But the big major attention with Lander off the board, Lander committed to IU, is going to be Trey Kaufman. So I would expect, I don't think he's in jeopardy of wanting to reclassify. Have not heard any reports of that from anyone around him or from his coach, but you can expect that Indiana will track him as close as possible. Trey's been to Indiana a number of times here this season for games and for visits, and you can bet that this offseason, the one between his junior and senior years, Indiana will continue to track him on that Romeo level, basically. I can't see them not being at a game he plays when college coaches at the Division I level are able to get out and be on the road. So huge commitment last night, and again, big time right now for Indiana, and they can continue this momentum, take it a step further if they can get a win Thursday night up at Purdue. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one. We've got our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a moment. Also in segment one, Joe Glover, athletic director at Indiana University Southeast. He's going to join me because coming up tonight, IU Southeast hosts their opening round games, both men's and women's, in the River States Conference, and it's really, really good basketball. I mean, it's very competitive. Lots of great players. IU Southeast, both teams, their roster stacked with players from the Kentuckiana and Southern Indiana area specifically. And both of them have really good seeds and the chance maybe to win the tournament. And the opportunity also to host a lot of games as a pretty high seed in the men's and women's tournament. So we'll talk with Joe Glover about that, a couple other things as well, quickly here in the first segment. Later in the program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is with me. A lot more on Christian Lander, what this means for Archie Miller, what this means for the Indiana program. Obviously, it's really good news, not only on the talent standpoint, keeping good players coming into Bloomington, but from a recruiting standpoint, Archie Miller has sent the message loud and clear once again in the Hoosier State that he's going to be successful when he sets after a recruit a great percentage of the time. Last night, again, another victory for Archie Miller. We'll talk about that with Dustin. And we've got to look ahead at where the Big Ten's at. Big game last night, Michigan State beat Iowa. Where Indiana's at, what the conference tournament looks like. We'll cover a lot of ground with Dustin Dopierak in segment number two today. Then later in the show, Josh Cook, new sports editor of the News and Tribune. He will join me in studio, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. And we'll take a look at some local stuff. Sectional pairings out. There were some high school games last night. Jeffersonville was victorious. Again, they are playing really good. They absolutely had no problem with a very stellar Madison team coached by Sharon Wilkerson last night. So we'll cover some of that and more with Josh when he joins us a little later today. That's the show lineup. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. Let's take a look at some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. How about this? We talk about crazy happenings in college basketball. Duke gets beat in double overtime. I think it was either the most or the second most, I can't remember what I read this morning, points that they've allowed. It was 113 points for Wake Forest last night. But the craziest thing, in addition to all the points that were scored, because Wake Forest had 113, Duke had just over 100 points, the craziest thing, Duke was ahead with 75 seconds left in the game, ahead by 9 points in the game. Somehow it goes to overtime, it goes to double overtime, and not only does Duke lose, but they get beat by 12 points last night to Wake Forest. That's a really a surprising loss from Duke especially this late in the season. Also, Big Ten basketball last night. Interesting game was on the slate. Michigan State, a winner, 78-70 over Iowa. That's a game that will affect some of the top parts of the Big Ten Conference standings. I think I saw today that seeds 2 through 6, and really places 2 through 6 in the Big Ten Conference right now, essentially at a deadlock. So we talk about big games for Indiana, trying to make sure that they, A, get in the NCAA tournament, B, don't play on the first day of the Big Ten tournament, which means you need to be a 10 seed or higher. You want to talk about some very competitive and interesting games down the stretch for the conference as a whole. Lots of gridlock in those 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 positions, which really can shake up the standings. And we really, and this comes down most years this way, we really will not have a clear read on the Big Ten Conference and the tournaments and the seedings for the tournament until this thing comes, basically the last score is reported and the last score is in. Last night, Jeffersonville victorious in high school basketball. Trey Coleman, just a monster game for Jeffersonville last night. The Red Devils now have won 11 of 12 games. They've got one more game later this week against Castle, which will wrap up the regular season. And this Jeff team, they can go into the postseason, win or lose later this week, and I think they'll win. They can go into the postseason one of the hottest teams in the area. We know all year they've got the talent to get it done. They were mentioned not only as a sectional favorite, but maybe a local team that could make a deep run, like Silver Creek in their respective class in the state tournament when things get underway. There were some ups and downs, especially in the early and middle parts of the seasons, but you got to give hats off to Chris Moore, the first-year coach at Jeffersonville. He's got them playing good. They've got some momentum behind them. We know they've got some talent, and I think Jeffersonville will be a really tough out in Seymour at the sectional. Our final headline today, I'm actually going to bring a guest on, Joe Glover, to talk with me about it. Joe's the athletic director at IU Southeast in New Albany. And, Joe, you know we love basketball. We love postseason basketball. And the River States Conference, some very talented players, very good teams. It's a great example of how good small college basketball is and can be. IU Southeast, both the men's and women's teams, very high seeds in that tournament. And, Joe, in fact, you guys get the opportunity to host the first round, the quarterfinal round, both the women's and the men's tonight at IU Southeast in New Albany.
Yeah, very excited. Thanks again for having me on, Matt. And like I said, both of these teams have played so great this year. The men's team 20-7 overall, the women 18-11, and to have an opportunity to be the high seed in the West Division, to win a West Division championship, that's very great for both of these programs. And we're looking forward to hosting postseason basketball tonight. It's hard to believe it's already here. And if we play our cards right, hopefully we'll be able to host a couple games this week, and hopefully be able to compete for a conference championship next week.
Joe, I've mentioned this a couple times over the years. IU Southeast, NAIA level school, Bellarmine Division II transitioning to Division I in Louisville. We know the success that they've had. There have been some other small college basketball teams in the area that have done well. But, you know, for people listening that have kids that play sports, basketball, whatever it may be, for people that just love the game in the area, that are at high school games, that follow Indiana or maybe follow Louisville at the college level, I'm not sure that even with the success that Wiley Brown has had there and that Scott Davenport has had at Bellarmine, that people truly get how good Division II NCAA and how good NAIA college basketball is. And I know you've been involved not only at IU Southeast, but with the conference as a whole. You understand small college athletics as well as anyone I know. Talk about how good IU Southeast, Bellarmine, this area is. And also for folks that want to play in college that maybe don't get the Division I looks, how good small college basketball is really across the country.
Yeah, it really is a tremendous testament, I think, to the coaches and to the players and to the talent that we do have in this area. But Division II basketball and NAIA basketball are strong and well. Small college basketball is probably as strong as I've ever seen it, really around the country. And you know, I would challenge anyone who maybe has a misconception of kind of what smaller college basketball is to come out any night and take a look at a game. I always tell people, you come out and watch one of our teams play, and you'll get your money's worth. And if you feel like you didn't, let me know at the end of the night, and I'll give you your ticket back. I'll give you your money back, because we really do. I mean, we've got some great talent. A lot of times we're, even at the NAI level, we're competing year in and year out with Division II programs, some of the best in the country. A couple of years back, we were able to beat Scotty and Bellarmine, and it's just one of those things where the talent in the area is strong. We love our basketball here in Southern Indiana and in this Louisville metro area. And I can tell you that the small college athletes really put in a lot of work and effort, and you can see it, and it really translates to the court. And, it's a lot of fun to watch, and I encourage anybody to come out. Again, you were talking about the games tonight. You know, our women end up taking on IU East tonight at 5:30. And again, that game is in the activities building at IU Southeast. Our men will follow that up at 7:30 tonight, and where they take on Ohio Christian University. And again, the first rounds of the tournament, if we win both of these games, we will have the opportunity to host a semifinal Final Four game on Saturday. Those games will be at 1 and 3 o'clock on Saturday. And then hopefully, if we're able to get those wins, we would end up hosting a championship on Tuesday next week. And the only way we would travel is if West Virginia Tech was the team to host in advance. They are the East Division champion, and they won the overall regular season number one. So that's the only way we would travel, is if we meet West Virginia Tech in the championship game.
Again, Joe Glover, IU Southeast Athletic Director, my guest. If you're looking for some good postseason basketball, IU Southeast hosting the River States Conference Tournament tonight. The women play at 5:30, the men to follow. Some great games. And I know it's also been in the men's basketball, and really women's too, but the men's basketball team year after year seems to post good records. They've had opportunities to be successful in the conference tournament, and at times even in the national tournament as well. But more recently, in addition to some team success, it's also been fun, I know, to see Wiley Brown, a former U of L player who's done a great job with the program, become the all-time winningest coach. I know you had a celebration for him. Jim Morris, the former coach who really got the program, athletics and basketball as a whole, going at IU South, was there to be part of that ceremony, and I know that was a special time. But Wiley Brown, great to see him get that accomplishment this season, in addition to the team having success as well.
Yeah, Coach Brown, I mean, what a tremendous record at IU Southeast, and becoming that all-time winningest men's basketball coach. It was such a special moment to have Coach Morris there and to celebrate. It was really a celebration of our rich history of basketball at IUS, and really, you know, having both of them there to talk about their experiences and to honor Coach Brown, but then Coach Brown also honoring Coach Morris and all the players that came before him. And it was just a very special moment, and we are proud of the success that we've had in basketball. We obviously want more, and, as basketball junkies in this area, we want to continue to play well and to advance into the championships and have an ability to go back. This will actually be the final year of the NAI Division II national tournament. Next year, we go back to one division in the NAI. So I know for us, we really want to make a trip to that national tournament for the men's side to be a part of that final Division II basketball tournament before we all go back to Kansas City under one division. And that'll have some special meaning as well, and both of these programs are trying to make it there to really stamp their name in the history books and to be able to make one more run at a D2 tournament.
Absolutely. Joe Glover, IU Southeast Athletic Director. Again, big postseason basketball tonight starting at 5:30 with the women's game. If you're looking for some competitive basketball, postseason basketball where it's all on the line, head to IU Southeast tonight. Joe, while we have you, I know things are just really getting rolling from the spring sports side of things. Despite some cold weather, we've had some warm days as well. But baseball especially, and I believe softball as well, it's still very early, but they're off to some really good starts, and they're having success here with some local players.
It is unbelievable. This has been one of the banner years for IU Southeast Athletics. I know it's early in the spring sports season, but our baseball program, I would say, is probably the best one we may have ever had, at least the best one maybe in the last 15 years. They're off to a 9-0 start, ranked number 22nd in the country. They start River States Conference play this weekend, and it is their best start in more than 15 years. They are just red hot and playing great baseball already this year. And softball also 9-2 to start the year and just playing tremendous softball. So I'm really excited, even as we look forward into the spring, to see what our baseball and softball programs are. And that, just to throw it in there, tennis, our men's tennis program had their first upset win over number 16 Campbellsville this past weekend. It was their first victory over a ranked team in the NAI. So a great, tremendous win for the men's tennis program. So I'm excited for the spring sports. Obviously, we're in basketball season still. We still have a lot going on there. But as we turn the page to the spring, I think we're going to have a lot of success for these IU Southeast programs.
That's Joe Glover, IU Southeast Athletic Director. And I should also mention Joe Glover, who's filled in for me a few times here on the Hoosier Report. Good job with that. Appreciate your help. And I hope to have you back again soon when I am out. But great stuff. You know, the basketball there in the postseason really pulls me in, and I thought we got to talk to Joe and promote what I know could be a good week or so of postseason basketball for IU Southeast and opportunities for local fans to get out and see some local players, maybe the names they remember from high school days, and maybe some that they won't, but the opportunity to have success. And let's hope that IU Southeast, both the men and women, can win tonight and keep the River States Conference the ability to host their games moving forward and maybe even compete for some championships early next week.
Thanks again, Matt. Really appreciate it. If anyone wants information on tickets or times or games, please check out our website, www.iusathletics.com. That's iusathletics.com. You can find all the information there. And, Matt, I appreciate all your support, and thanks again for having me, and good luck, Grenadiers, tonight.
Absolutely. Joe Glover, thanks so much for the time. And that will wrap up our Zaxby's headlines for the day. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. And again, Zaxby's with a location in Jeffersonville and New Albany as well. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Segment two today, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins. We'll talk the big commitment last night, caught a lot of people, including me, by surprise. Evansville Wrights product, or I should say current player at Evansville Wrights, Christian Lander, commits to the Hoosiers. We'll talk about what that means for the program, how big of a get that actually is for Archie Miller and for Indiana, and what's next in recruiting. Also, we'll take a look at IU at Purdue. Dustin not only covers Indiana, but he covers Purdue as well for The Athletic. He's been to a lot of their games. He's got a great read on what's going on right now, the good and bad with Purdue. So we'll get a full preview on that coming up in the next segment. We'll head to a break. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Still ahead, Josh Cook, new sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins us as we talk basketball sectional pairings, some high school action last night and later this week as well. Final week of regular season high school basketball play. Dustin, so much of our conversation, as expected this time of year, has been about Indiana fighting for a place in the NCAA tournament. And recently the Hoosiers have had some big, big wins, and there's another big game coming up Thursday night at Purdue. But we've got to start our conversation today with something that caught me a little off guard last night. That's a big commitment from current 2021 point guard, number one point guard in the country, according to most, Christian Lander of Evansville Wrights. And I know there's lots of comments out there about Archie Miller, and that's the case for most college basketball coaches that are leading programs, trying to get to the tournament, trying to be in a rebuild. But one thing about Archie Miller, Dustin, he has recruited Indiana very, very successfully, almost perfectly, since he's been hired in Bloomington as the IU coach.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, this is a really big one for a bunch of reasons. I mean, like, you can argue back and forth, okay, where will he ultimately rank compared to Romeo and compared to Trace Jackson Davis? But I think the biggest thing here is, like, it gets tougher to recruit the state once you've gotten past the honeymoon period, once you know, you get in there and it doesn't move as fast as you were going to. You know, when you get hired, you know, you get to sell everybody on the dream and on what the future is going to be like. And especially when you get a guy like Romo, then you can let, oh, look, this is going to go real fast. And when you have a bit of a downturn, when you have a disappointment like they had last year going to the NIT, and, you know, this season has been back and forth. I mean, I think at this point they're probably an NCAA tournament team. They're probably safe. Even if they lose out, they're probably in. But there was a period where it was not a sure thing. So when you're going out on the road recruiting and it doesn't seem like, okay, like this is not going to be a rocket ship to the top here, it gets harder to go recruit kids who are also being recruited by blue chip programs, by the Kentuckys, by the, you know, Louisvilles, you know, even in Michigan. It gets tougher to recruit against those guys. So to be able to, again, keep a kid like Lander in the state, that's a big deal, because obviously he was being recruited by a whole bunch of big schools, who's probably going to get more offers this summer, basically, and again, presuming that if he's going to be in the 2021 class, he might move up. But it's really big to be able to keep that recruiting momentum going once you've gotten past, once you have a record. You know, once you have something they can use against you, it's big to still be able to maintain, you know, that presence and be able to continue to sell guys, even if it's not moving as fast as maybe you had hoped, as maybe they had hoped, or as fast as might be moving other places, to still get those players. I mean, that takes a lot of work. That you've got to be able to be consistent. You've got to be able to sell somebody. They've got to be able to trust you. And I didn't get to talk to Christian last night. I talked to his AAU coach, but from some of the other quotes I saw who did talk to him, it seemed like he really just appreciated, you know, the loyalty, the faith, the degree that, you know, not they stuck with him. Not that it's hard to stick with the number one point guard in the 20 and 21 class, but, you know, they, you know, showed focus and were, you know, apparently true to him. So I think that says a lot about the way he was recruited.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak about IU's commitment from Christian Lander of Evansville Rights last night. He's been open with this. I think it was an ESPN report I read that he is definitely considering reclassifying. And if that happens, he becomes part of Indiana's 2020 class. And I'm assuming this, I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming he'll have some work to do in the summer to get ahead and finish high school if he does choose to reclassify, which may keep him from being in Bloomington at least full-time as early as some of the other natural seniors once they graduate, to typically report there right away. What does this mean to Indiana, looking at the roster makeup right now, looking at next year's team, which I know can be hard to do when you're right in the middle of a frantic run to the end of the Big Ten Conference season, but what would Christian Lander, I guess my question here is, what would Christian Lander on next year's IU roster mean to you as far as the makeup of this team and the need for a point guard and where he would fit in?
Yeah, no, I think what he gives you, I mean, obviously the sort of awkward piece to it is how do you balance him and Rob Phinisee, because obviously you've got two point guards there that are different type of players. And does this mean as a junior, you know, Rob Phinisee is getting moved back to playing, you know, 15 minutes if he's lucky? It's possible. I mean, because it's, for as much as they might be able to play together offensively, when you're two guards of 6'1", 6'2", that limits you. And that's a tough decision to make when you've got some bigger guys that you might have option to put on the floor. And Al Durham being 6'4", Anthony Leal being 6'4", 6'5", Trey Galloway being 6'5", you know, 6'4", 6'5", maybe even 6'6". I'm not sure, totally sure how big Trey is. Jordan Geronimo coming in at 6'6", still having Justin Smith and Jerome Hunter there as wing guys. You know, when you have that much other height to use, it's tough to leave that on the bench to play 2 6'1", 6'2" guards. So that makes for, I think, an awkward scenario. But Lander does give you some things that other guy that you know nobody else on the roster would give you. I mean, obviously Durham and Finney can put the ball in the basket to some extent, but Lander can really score at all three levels, and he's just so explosive and so fast with the basketball. I mean, he's going to be better at breaking guys down off the dribble. He's going to be faster in transition than Finney or Al for that matter. I mean, and Al has been, I think, really good in the full court, and I think Rob Tennessee's been really, you know, is really steady in the half court. But Lander, I think, is really good at both. But again, he's so fast, he's so explosive, and he's going to be able to really score the basketball. And I think when they lose Devontae Green, you're losing the guy that's really got some juice. For as much as for all of the myriad complaints that are fair about Devontae Green's game and as erratic as he can be, I mean, he is a guy that can go off. And Tennessee and Durham haven't necessarily showed that capability. Christian Lander does. Again, he's not, he's 165 pounds. He's going to have to put some weight on, and that is going to be an issue, if he has to stay in Evansville for the summer to be able to reclassify. That makes it a little bit tougher, basically, if he's not going to be able to get into a college weight program. I'm sure they'll give him, stuff to do, but it's not the same as being on campus when they can, control what you're eating and really watch you every day and put you on the scale every day and all those kinds of things and making sure that you're eating when you're supposed to and, being in the weight room when you're supposed to. It's different. So that makes it kind of difficult. But again, just the speed the kid has, he's really competitive, just really tough kid, can really defend when he wants to, I think, is really good ball hawk type kid. And I think can get to be a better, overall on the ball defender. But he's a guy that, he's going to be able to obviously step in and make a big impact right away. The question, obviously, when you're a five-star kid, you expect to come in and start, right away. And so that part will be a little bit interesting in terms of how they shake that out. He's certainly got the capability to do it and does give them some stuff that they're not getting anywhere else in the backcourt right now.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest, talking about Christian Lander's decision to commit to the Hoosiers last night. Archie Miller, Romeo Langford first, that was the big one, followed by Trace Jackson Davis, now Christian Lander. There have been others from in-state as well. And if you're looking at misses in the state, players he's recruited but not been able to land, really the only big one was Keon Brooks that got away from Archie and his staff. What does this commitment, in addition to all those others, the Romeo, the Trace, and others from Indiana that he's been able to keep in the state, what does that say about Archie Miller's recruiting ability to you?
I mean, it says a lot. I think obviously it's just he stuck his flag in the ground, and then that's a big thing. I think every program in the state has a different approach and has something different that it's trying to achieve. But if you're Indiana, you are trying to be the flagship, and basically the thing that you can do is say, there is a ton of talent that comes out of the state, and we're going to get the best of it. We are not going to let anybody else come in here and take it. And there's different approaches to that. Matt Painter just kind of gets, blows that off and says, hey, you get the players that are good for you, that fit your system. If that means you take the best player in the state, great. If it means you let that guy pass by, that's not a big deal either. But I think Indiana generally, and especially when you're trying to build a program for work from where Archie's building it, that's a big foundational piece, a good place to start to say, okay, we are going to go get the best player in the state every year. That is going to be our goal. Whoever is the best player in the state, we're going to go get that player. And that's what we're going to build around, because we trust that there's enough talent in the state of Indiana to build a big time, a blue blood program around. It shows, okay, he's obviously sticking with those guys. I haven't been as close, as tightly, wound into this stuff, the recruiting stuff, as I had been in the past, and certainly that other people that really do this for a living are. A year ago, I would have been really surprised if Lander ended up going to Indiana. I saw him in Dallas, last spring, I think. And I know Indiana was obviously after him, but a whole bunch of other people were too. And he struck me as a kid that was I thought if he got stars in his eyes, again, if a Kentucky or a Louisville showed up, and he's from down that way anyway, I thought he'd have a really tough time. Archie would have a really tough time battling them off. And obviously, people have kept coming after him, big time programs have kept coming after him. And Indiana was able to weather the storm. So that tells you, okay, Archie stuck with it, at times when I think, he's probably told, hey man, you're gonna have a really hard time getting this kid. I'm not sure if you want to put that much effort forth, put your energy into something else. He said, no, we're gonna get this player. I believe in us. We're gonna do it. And that says something a lot about Archie. He saw this guy, knew this was a guy he wanted, and stuck with him through, whatever. That's a big thing. And again, some of the quotes that I think I saw from him elsewhere last night, I also say something to me that. They were true to him. They were straight up with him. They didn't try to sell him something that wasn't there. They were honest. If you're a Christian Lander, you had to see the goods and the bads of the last, 2 years at Indiana, and say, okay, this isn't necessarily a situation that's going to go straight to the top immediately. It's going to be tough. You're going to be playing in a really tough league, where everybody's good and you don't just get to rock it up all the way. There's a whole bunch of other good players in this league. You don't just decide, okay, you're Indiana, you're a top three program again, once, once you start getting some talent, it's tough. You're going to face some experienced guys, some big time guys. I mean, he had to look at it and see this is not going to be easy, and he signed on anyway. So that tells you, I think, a lot about how Miller approached this recruitment, how his staff approached this recruitment, just and what they got across to him to say that this is still the best place for him to go.
I assume now that Lander is in the fold as at least a verbal commit, that it's, you know, fair to say that Trey Kaufman, who's right here in our backyard in southern Indiana in Sellersburg, he obviously, I have to think, is the chief target of Indiana. There will be others, but I have to think he becomes the main, solely the main recruiting target of this Indiana program.
Yeah, no, I would think so too. I'm sure Caleb First is in that discussion as well. I don't know. I haven't broke them down enough to say, okay, who fits them better. But yeah, Trey Kaufman obviously becomes a really big priority for that 21-21 class. I don't know if he has any reclass thoughts or anything at all. You know, I have no clue at all. But, you know, certainly I think you have to leave open for the possibility that, you know, going into that class, there's a chance that, I don't think Trace Jackson Davis even thinks about leaving after this year. But, I mean, I think if he has a big sophomore year, there's a chance he could go. So you're going to have to fill in the backcourt. You're going to have to add some things in there to make sure that you've got, you know, you steady up in there. So that obviously makes Trey Kaufman, I think, a bigger priority. It's going to be just important to get, I think, a big time four in that class, and Trey Kaufman certainly fits that bill. So I think certainly becomes a big priority, just obviously because he's a big time player in the state. And again, you want to keep your flag on the ground and say, we're not letting many of these guys out of the state. So that's big. So that's a guy you want to attack for every reason you could have. Trey Kaufman is a priority recruit for 2021.
Dustin, I tell you what, before the Lander news last night, I had a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to get to some of it. I wanted to talk with you about Purdue and the game Indiana at Purdue on Thursday, because, yes, you come on our show to talk Indiana on Wednesdays. We also get into Big Ten and other stuff in college basketball, but you cover Indiana and Purdue for The Athletic, Butler as well. So you're probably as well-versed on Purdue, probably, I'm guessing, have seen the Boilermakers live and in person, been to more press conferences than maybe any other guest that we have on our show from day to day. Purdue has not won a game since they played at Indiana, and of course now Indiana will go to Mackey, which is a tough place to play. What's going on right now with the Purdue team? They've been up and down, but the last four games have not went their way.
A lot. I mean, I think, obviously a couple of those go on the road, but I mean, they haven't really played particularly well at Mackey either. I mean, some of that's playing a tough team. They got beat by Michigan on Saturday, and that's a tough Michigan team. That's not an easy out, especially the way they're playing right now. You know, with Isaiah Livers back in the lineup, and Xavier Simpson is just, you know, pulling strings on people right now, just kind of doing whatever he wants to do. But a big issue is, you know, when they don't make shots, they become very beatable. Because when they don't make shots, they become less tough. And I think, you know, their biggest strength is that, you know, they can really toughen up. They can really decide, okay, we're going to lock you down and hold you at least in the low 60s, if not the high 50s. I think a big issue they have is their best defensive lineup and their best offensive lineup are not the same thing. I think that's a pretty significant issue. Joe Eastern might be the best, you know, perimeter defender, you know, inside outside defender in the Big Ten. You know, is I think a Big Ten, you know, defensive player of the year, candidate if he's not a sure thing. But you put him on the floor, and that takes away a lot of things you can do offensively. And he's, you know, done some things, added some things to his game. I mean, I think he's gotten better at getting the rim and hitting some floaters, but ultimately he's not hitting a bunch of jump shots. And you're putting a guard on the floor that's not going to be able to space it. On top of, you know, bigs that generally operate out of the low post, so it kind of clogs the floor a little bit. You know, even when he is doing some things well, you take him off the floor, you lose a lot defensively. And kind of the same situation with the bigs. You know, Travion Williams, I think, has been, you know, really, really good offensively and been tougher and tougher to deal with. He's not as good defensively as Matt Harms is. Harms is really terrific at protecting the rim. Harms isn't as good of a rebounder as Travion Williams is. So you're having these trade-offs. But ultimately they try playing them both together, and, you know, you lose some things there because it becomes tougher to guard the perimeter on faster four men. Your bench situation becomes weirder. Matt Painter said the other night, you know, after the Michigan loss, you know, I like our guys, I like our pieces. I don't know if I like our pieces together. It's not that they don't play well together as, you know, in terms of chemistry and liking each other, but it's just the sort of body types that you have, the sort of player types that you have, the skill sets that you have. There's just never been a really clean mesh with them, and they're able to paper over that when they make some threes, and also when they finish to the rim. That's another thing they've had a problem with. his finishing at the rim. You know, sometimes if Travion's not, you know, maybe a little bit off from inside, that really costs them a lot. And they're not great finishers in terms of their guards. They, you know, Proctor is the only one that's even remotely consistent as far as getting the rim and finishing. And he's not great at it either. You can kind of bump him off the line too. I think really in that game, they had a bunch of opportunities at the rim that they didn't finish. So there's just been a bunch of things wrong. And I think, and it ends up, you know, being sort of a snowball effect. I mean, there is some experience and some toughness on that group, but they seem to lose really the advantage of it sometimes when they miss some shots and things don't go well. You know, they're not really fragile, but they can be a little bit, you know, when you know, they get hit by a run, you know, they might fight back, but it's just they're just not, you know, again, when the shots aren't going down, they do seem to lose some confidence, and they become a lot easier to beat in that case.
Talking to Dustin Dopierak, he covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic and joins us Wednesdays on the program. I think you touched on this in an earlier answer, but what do you think Indiana, and I've asked everybody this week, what do you think Indiana needs to do? Or are they already in the tournament the rest of the way to make sure that the Hoosiers are back to the big dance?
I mean, I think they're close to safe. It might just be a situation of win any game, you know, just don't lose out. You know, it might be enough. Just if you can get even one win out of these last four, that they're probably safe. If you go in with a four-game losing streak, maybe that raises some eyebrows and say, okay, what's going on here? You know, one, I think they're definitely safe. Two, I think they're definitely safe. You know, 2-2 is going to be enough. Because, I mean, I think if it's either 6 or 7 quadrant one wins now. And that, I think, really looks good. I mean, their NET ranking might not be great on its own. But I think the teams that you played and beat, you know, goes a long way. When you can show that you can beat some big time programs, you know, when they had Maryland on the ropes, they beat Michigan State team, I think is going to make a run. They beat an Iowa team that's still pretty good for all of its wackiness of, you know, and not being a particularly good defensive team. Iowa still got a bunch of big wins, so you couldn't claim that win. You know, beating Penn State at home was a big deal. You know, I think it was just really big to show that they could beat somebody on the road who isn't Nebraska, and you know, so beating Minnesota out at the barn was big. But anything I think they do down the stretch, it might be icing. I mean, if they go 0-4, I still kind of think, you know, they're at least the last four in sort of team. I think I'd be really surprised, even if they get the table run on them from here on in, if they get left out. I think just to be safe, win another one or two might be enough to do it. I'd be really surprised if they get another, you know, because just about anything they get is going to be a quad one win or close to it, or at least quadrant two. There's not a bad loss available left. Everybody there is pretty good. Maybe the only one that could be bad is losing at home to Minnesota. But as long as they get that one, if they get this one on the road against Purdue and they beat Minnesota at home, and that's the other two teams that are sort of, you know, that look like they're on the other side of the bubble in the Big Ten, that's almost definitely enough. I think that's definitely enough of their state, but I think they're in really good position after winning these last two games.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, he's with us Wednesdays. Dustin, great stuff, and it looks like some more fun chats ahead because Indiana either there or really close to an NCAA tournament bid, and it'll be fun to follow the rest of the way. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me in studio, our segment presented by Major League Shirt Company. We've got lots to talk about. Boys basketball sectional pairings out on Sunday. Now we kind of have a waiting game as the regular season comes to a close. The chance to talk about some of the headlines in those games and a lot more next with Josh right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Final segment, we'll talk some local sports headlines with Josh Cook. He's the new News and Tribune sports editor. in this segment brought to you each week by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs. T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms, whatever it may be, let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com for more information. Josh, we have some weekday games, especially this week, the final week of the boys' regular season. Last night, some local teams, I believe Rock Creek and Clarksville and Jeffersonville, all victorious as this regular season slowly coming to a close.
Yeah, I can't believe it's actually coming to a close. It seems like it just started yesterday, but yeah, it's winding down. This is it for the last week. You know, Jeff clinches the Hoosier Hills Conference title last night against Madison and Sharon Wilkerson. So that was an interesting game. Jeff won pretty handily. So. And I guess that's going to be Madison's last HHC game, you know. And then Clarksville beat Henryville. I was there for that one. That was a close game. Henryville played Clarksville. They were leading at halftime, but Clarksville stormed back in the second half. And then Rock Creek picked up a big win over West Washington. They've won, I think, four of the last five, Rock Creek has.
I tell you, Clarksville in that first round of sectional play against Southwestern, I would not be surprised at all if the Generals able to knock them off. Sectional pairings out. I know you guys have been hard at work with some previews and getting ready for the upcoming tournament in addition to covering the final week of the regular season. I want to go through each of the sectionals with you, but I want to start with this. Was there one draw or one item out of Sunday that stood out to you when you think about a local sectional or a local team?
Just maybe the Friday night possibilities of Seymour, you know, the chance of maybe Jeff and Floyd playing again, and then Bedford and New Albany in the semifinals. That should be a heck of a night there at Scott Gymnasium.
Yeah, that obviously, if it plays out to that, should be some great games at Seymour. And let's start with Seymour early on in the year, even before the season. The Red Devils of Jeffersonville kind of labeled as the favorite with some of their returning players. They had some guys make some decisions in the offseason and, of course, during the season on where they will play college basketball. Handful of Division I guys on the roster, including some seniors this year. And I'm not so sure that even with some ups and downs throughout the season under first-year coach Chris Moore, I'm not so sure that as we inch closer to the start of the postseason, that as Jeff has now won 11 of 12, including some really quality opponents that they've beaten as part of that streak, I'm not sure that that prediction doesn't still hold true. At least on paper, you got to have them as the favorite.
Yeah, definitely. They have to be the favorite with Jacob Jones and Trey Coleman. And yeah, they only lost in that 12-game span was a one-point defeat to Bedford North Lawrence. So, I mean, they've definitely got the talent, and they should be the favorite, you know. Jacob's going to be the key. You know, he's really good, and he's carried them. He and Trey both have carried them. But they're going to be a tough out, but they're the champs until somebody knocks them off.
Josh Cook, News and Tribune sports editor, my guest. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. 3A at Cordon. That takes me a minute to get used to saying. I'm so used to saying at Charlestown. But 3A local sectional at Cordon this year. And the question for you there is Silver Creek, North Harrison. That game very, very likely going to happen on Friday night at Cordon. Can North Harrison challenge to the wire the Dragons? Could they be one of the better opportunities if Silver Creek is going to get upset? Could that be one of the tougher matchups that they will face along the way?
Oh, definitely. There's no question that North Harrison definitely has the – you know, it's one of the few teams that actually has the size to match up with Silver Creek at the 3A level. And then that semifinal game might as well just be the championship game, to be honest with you. But, you know, that with Lou LaFave coaching that team, and, you know, he's had some postseason success at Providence, so it's definitely going to be a close matchup. I would still favor Silver Creek, but, you know, I think it'll be a close game.
And 2A at Southwestern Hanover, another new location, at least for Providence, Clarksville, and Henryville. three local teams, three Clark and Floyd County teams in that sectional. And I like our chances to get a local winner in that sectional, specifically talking about Clarksville, who opens up with Southwestern Hanover, or Providence, who's on the opposite side of the bracket. And I wouldn't bet against a Clarksville-Providence championship game, maybe some locals facing off for a sectional championship here in a week and a half or so.
Yeah, that would be something, wouldn't it? That'd be fun. But yeah, I mean, Clarksville probably not extremely happy about getting Southwestern in the first game, but you know, if you look at it, they probably have to play them at some point, so might as well go ahead and get it over with. But you know, Southwestern with the whole coach drama going on over there, you just don't know what's going to happen. So obviously, their first game without him didn't turn out too well. So, and Clarksville has been playing really well down the stretch here, so that's definitely going to be an interesting matchup. And yeah, Clarksville Providence could meet in the final.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got to talk 1A as well. Some local teams in that from Clark and Floyd counties, New Washington, Borden, Christian Academy, and others. But the Warriors, I think, have been the predominant favorite all year long. They've played an extremely challenging schedule. I've kind of had them selected in 1A as a team that not only can win the sectional, but if they can get past Bar Reeve, could make a run. What do you see at 1A? Any chance of Christian Academy not being the victor there?
Sure, there's definitely a chance, because I think Christian Academy was the favorite last year, and they lost to Lanesville in the final. So there's always that chance, but Christian Academy has just been so good this season that I think this is going to be their year to definitely cut down the nets at Borden.
Josh Cook, News and Tribune sports editor with us. Josh is always with me Wednesdays as we talk local sports headlines. Just about time to get out, Josh, but I mentioned this to you before we came on. You gotta feel for Silver Creek, the girls team, the basketball team. They had a fantastic year. They were probably the local team that had the best chance to make some noise. They just barely lost to Salem in the Charlestown sectional final game. And of course, now Salem is headed on to the state championship after a win over Brownstown at the Jeffersonville Semi-State on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely a little bittersweet, I'm sure, for Coach Shane and the girls. But, you know, coming back next year, they'll be one of the favorites to win it all.
No question. Josh Cook, News and Tribune sports editor. Josh, as always, thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap it up for this Wednesday program. I'll catch you tomorrow at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.